Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Small Gamer. I'm your host, Rob. First time spoken today. Definitely not ready. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Hey, everyone. And I'm your host, Rob. Nice. It's Saturday. It's hangout day. It's time to chill. We had a good week. We had a good week of shows. So I'm going to do some hobby, hang out with you guys. That's my plan. I'm going to show you some stuff I've been doing. I'm going to do some painting. I'm going to try and work out what army I'm going to play at the Breakfast Battles last week. Because, as we know, the Phoenixes weren't good, ultimately. But before I get on with anything else, I want to know how everyone in the Twitch chat is doing. And I want to say thank you to everyone on the podcast. Please stay hydrated, especially if you've got your Honest Wargamer Stay Hydrated water bottle. That's right, I'm repping my own merch. Thank you, Wolf Brother, for subscribing. Thank you to everyone who subscribes to the show and everyone who joins us on Patreon. Couldn't do it without you. You guys are the best. So, how is everyone? Scott B, I'm painting Chaos Dwarves, keeping them alive. Play Chaos Dwarves, keep them alive. That's pretty bold. I'm not sure I'm going to do that. I'd like them to stay alive, but I don't think they're going to stay alive, ultimately. Hey, hello, Boya. Heading to gym, deadlifts while listening to Rob. Big love. Building my Sinesh half of Shadow and Pain. Nice AOSP. That's cool. That's really exciting for you. There's some great Sinesh models on the way. I'm very much looking forward to the Sinesh range, as is. There's some news before we get into anything else that's happened. And, of course, we saw the new, if you're talking Age of Sigmar, we've seen the brand new, not Warcry, Underworlds Warband. Is it an Underworld? Is it a Warcry Warband? It's the Underworlds. Faction for the Seraphon, and I wanted to ask everyone's thoughts on the Seraphon specifically, because I have a few. The Skinks, did I say Seraphon? Yeah, Seraphon. Diachasm, yeah. There's new Seraphon from the Diachasm range, I think, ultimately. I have some thoughts on it, and I'd love to know what you guys think. Number one, the Skinks are fine. They've added loads of feathers to the Skinks. They've done a Skink character. I think it looks really, really good. Yes, Intern Matt has shown me a picture of a skink who looks very much like he's doing some fellatio on a blowpipe, which looks very funny. However, Razorwolf has brought it up in the chat. The Saurus sculpt is the thing I want to talk about, because if anyone's played Total War, Saurus are big. Like, they're really big. They're, like, big, big. Yeah? And I am a little disappointed in the Saurus sculpt, if I'm honest. He looks a bit small, I would say. It's one new Saurus, but he looks small. It doesn't look like a massive redesign of the Saurus range. And unfortunately, I feel like if we are going to get a new Saurus, those are going to be what the Saurus is going to look like now. They've obviously had a new stab at it for Age of Sigmar, and they've gone, this is what we want the Saurus to look like. And I don't love it, if that's okay. I'm a big fan of the Saurus range. Big fan of the Saurus range. So I want, like, big, swole Saurus. In fact, actually, let's get up on screen together. We'll all do this as a little crew, because this is much easier. I should just set this up beforehand. Sorry, everyone. One sec. I know. I'm just a bad streamer. We all know that. That's why I like doing live coverage. Which, a little bit of a note, the 4th and 5th of February, there is a 2-dayer Hammer Time event. So that is a weekend, and we're going to do live coverage from the whole weekend. So there is going to be 2 days of Age of Sigmar coverage, the 4th and 5th of February. I'm pretty certain. Hey, Tank. I probably won't make Spider-Fan Grots work, baby. War Machine Mixed Order. Okay. Before we get to that, I'm going to talk about the news, if that's okay with you guys. So let's just go on to the Model Bloggers vlog. No, this isn't the Model Bloggers vlog. This is just the Model Bloggers blog. That's what we're in. Also, I've just 3D printed my first miniatures. I can't wait to show you guys in a moment. Give me a second, but we'll do this first. Right, okay. Hold on, I lost it. I was speaking and there was no one there. Hold on. Hello, I'm back. Right, okay. So, I'm all about the skinks. I think the skinks look great. Yeah, they've got all these little adornments, which I think is sweet, super annoying to paint. You should be able to hear me. Yeah, yeah. Right. And the camo skink looks amazing. Although they did lure us in a little bit with the camo skink and like, look, it's going to be so different. The camo skink looks amazing. And then the other skinks look. I quite like this warlike skink chief holding up this kind of like necronite like orb, which looks great. That's a good point. Good point, intern Matt. Interestingly, if you look, the Sora sculpt does actually match the Seraphim Battletome cover in style. That is very true. I would say the artist has seen this exact sculpt and has done it. Good spot there. However, like Razor Wolf, I like the boxer models. I'm happy you are. I like it. I just wanted the Saurus to be bigger. I don't know anyone else about this. Like, if you've played Total War, the Saurus are huge. They're like meaty dudes. And I don't know. I think they're a little bit on the slender side. That was my only complaint. That's my only complaint about it. Then there's some rules for this game no one plays. Like, who cares? Sure, you can do that. The Void Spear. Ooh. We also got this, which caused some controversy here. A glimpse into the future of the warband that will follow the Star Blood Stalkers. Now, everyone seems to think these are vampires. I just think that they're vampires. Like, that simple. I just think vampires. Nothing there says pirate to me. But yeah, so I think vampire, which is cool. So we might be seeing those things sooner. It looks like Dark Elves to me. No, I'd say this blade is quite intricate. Like it's more of like a saber style blade. And the Dark Elves don't tend to go for that. They have more like hooks and curves generally on there. They would have sold hundreds of boxes if they did one plastic Croxagore instead of Saurus. Steven, AOS, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that is a shame. I feel like Vampirates are a stretch, but at this point, you think Games Workshop would try to dissuade that rumour because they're going to be a lot of unnecessary disappointment. That's a really good point, Stonehewer. Thanks for making it. If it's Vampirates, I'd give up the hobby. Stupid idea that should get in the bin and set on fire. Oh, dear. Oh dear. Anyway, New Saurus, not bothered about. I agree with Steven, I would have loved to have seen a Croxagore in his place. New Skinks, they look fine. They don't look much different from Skinks. Like if you were collecting Skinks now, you could pretty much buy, like on the Warhammer Stonks market, you could pretty much buy Skinks unperturbed that they're going to change how they look in any way, shape, or form. So that's pretty good. And you could probably do the same with Saurus. Yeah, they might put some new Saurus out. And yeah, they might be way more dynamic. But ultimately, it looks like they're not going to overly change the design for Saurus, which I think is sad. Because actually, if you put some of the larger monsters, like the Stegodon is really actually an incredibly small monster if you put him up next to some of the other larger monsters in Age of Sigmar nowadays. Like, just in physical size is more what I'm talking about. Let's all get into it, okay? Because this is important. We all need to focus on this guy, right? On the left, if you guys can see him here, this guy is... Whew, he is ready to make everyone happy. which is cool news. All right, okay, let's go. Other bits of news, which I have for you guys. I wonder if you guys are interested. So here we go. I printed my first 3D sculpts. Thanks to you guys, anyone who donated to the show over Christmas to help me get a 3D printer. So I thought I'd show you. And unfortunately, I know like now everyone's angry about pirates. And now I feel a little bit sad showing you my miniatures. But I have in fact done pirate ogres. So I'm going to try and give you, try and make it so it can focus. I don't know if you guys can see. Let's turn that way. So it's not focusing on the detail. Definitely not focused on the detail. I promise you there's more detail than that, which is interesting. Never mind. I've got this earlier. I was like practicing for ages so you guys could like get it. God damn. sorry, podcast bros. I'll put a picture up at some point. No, you're never getting it. It's not happening. We're just going to have to, come on, focus. Focus on me. Oh, there we go. You see? There we go. Thanks very much. I'm a professional hand model. I'm going to try and turn it so you guys can see. Oh, well. Okay. So one of the like bits of, you forgot to print his hands. Don't worry. He's got hands here. A cutlass. Arr. Yeah, I was going to answer a couple of questions. So number one, this was just something I just printed straight off the bat. So just some feedback for everyone. I was just very excited about doing a print. One of the things that I didn't do, big shout out to my friend Randy, who spoke to me for several hours last night. And one of the things he was obviously talking to me about was calibrating my machine so it's as perfect as possible. There's some really good tutorials on this. Miniac does a particularly good one about calibration and like setting your calibration. It's a bit like anything, ultimately. You can fine hone the calibration so that it just prints better. There's lots of factors, the temperature of the room, the type of resin you're using and other stuff. That sounds a little bit daunting, but ultimately what I really did was, before I did any of that, I just turned the machine on, I pressed go, and I printed out something, which was some pirate ogres. And I have got models which I would say are, I was looking at it today, I was like, can I say they're Games Workshop equivalent? Like, because I've always looked at 3D printed minis and I've always said to myself, they look a bit soft, if that makes sense. You look at them from afar and they look a bit like there's not very much detail. But actually, I think photos just don't overly do them justice. I've looked at these guys in detail and I'm comparing them to a Plague Marine, and I would say that they hold up in quality. And that's without like me trying to hone in on the calibration. This is out without me trying to make them as perfect as possible, which is pretty scary good. Like, that's pretty scary good that you've ended up with, I've ended up with three dudes who look beautiful. They're ogres, because I'm going to make an ogre more tribes army. So it's going to all be pirate ogre more tribes. So sorry to Benjamin about that and everyone on Twitter who hates pirates now. But I'm very excited about it. So I'm going to do an ogre more tribes army. And I think the models are beautiful. I think the models are great. I think I'm really happy with the quality and the detail, especially considering I've done little to no work to make them any better. They're pretty much stock downloaded from where I got them on Patreon and then put into the machine. So I've done nothing. I didn't do that. Sorry, again, that's the point. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that later. So there's some things, but the quality is wild. So I just some feedback for you guys. I spent all of yesterday on this. So big shout out to my friend James as well, who rang me and was there for me for the entire day online, helping me out. So he deserves all the love in the world, and Meg. So pretty impressed, to be honest, and only took 4 hours. So, it's likely I could do, I want to do a unit of Iron Guts, because Stuart McCowan has basically inspired me to do a beautiful, I want to do an Ogre Moor Tribes army. Specifically, I'm just stealing Stuart's list, and I'm just going to do it out of pirates, which is going to be super cool. So it's going to be Iron Guts, it's going to be Stonehorn, the Stonehorn's going to be on a crab, and it's going to be super fun, and I'm very, very excited. So I just thought I'd, give you some. It's going to look different with primer on it too. Lou Diamonds makes a really good point. And then I'm very interested to see, I don't know about you guys, I think one of the things I've always asked, one of the things I've always wanted to do was paint a 3D mini and see how I feel the quality holds up. So that'll be the first thing I do over the next couple of days, is I'm going to paint these guys up and see how I feel about the actual quality, because I think the image, it'll come out a lot nicer. So it's my first experience. I've seen people online, there's like, if you like Miniac, I've been watching a lot of his videos. What a good looking fella that fucking guy's got, some stuff to say. I really like how he looks as a person, but he's also like, his quality's really good and his other stuff, and he's painting some beautiful 3D minis. So but he's a much better painter than I am. I just want to see how tabletop ready I can get them, and I'm genuinely very impressed. And the fact that people can do this at home for like 200-300 quid is pretty amazing. Like, that's pretty wild. You have Trog, I know that. My Ogre Tyrant is the pirate one, says Dwarf Penguin. Okay. Hey, Wargaming Dad. Was your resin a mono or three color? Sergeant Rolf, so it's a resin, it's a 4K mono printer. So it's a Photon Mono X is what I was printing these on, to give some clarity for everyone. And I was using some Anycubic resin. Some people like to light that stuff. But again, it sounds really daunting, but I want everyone to know that it actually hasn't, as a process, been particularly daunting. So I think one of the things that I can do for the Honest Wargamer community, at least, is let you know that going through the process of both FDM printing and resin printing, it feels not very daunting. I've only done one, though. I'm sure I'm going to run into some problems at some point, but if I don't, and if you just take your time and follow the instructions, it's very difficult to see where things will go wrong. So we'll see. So yeah, very, very excited. I think ogres work well for 3D printing because they're nice and chunky. Intern Matt makes a good point. However, so I'm very excited to see what happens when I try and print something on a smaller scale. There's some really nice Arabian Night themed dudes who I would love to try and run. Maybe as an OC Arcs army. I think that would be quite interesting. But yeah, there's some, or even as a Lumineth army. So there's some really fine detail sculpts, which I will be doing over the next few weeks to try and learn. And then if I can get them sorted, that'll be sweet too. Anyway, why are people mad about pirates? I don't think people are mad about pirates. I think the situation is there's no justification for the it's become a meme, right? And so that's all it is. Right. Hey, Randy! Let's go! So big shout out to Randy in the chat who spent 2 hours on the phone to me last night helping me learn things. So what a little angel. So that's Tautor1990 in the chat. The Honest Wargamers tank. You tank my heart. Okay, so next week, so I think that's the news, unless anyone's got any other news that they'd like me to talk about. And that's also my news for what I've been doing recently. So updates on the Pirate Ogres to come. I think they're going to be super fun to paint and play with. Looking forward to that. It's also nice. Can we just talk about, like, I like Iron Guts. I think Iron Guts look great. They look like cool models. But the fact that now I've got much better looking models for an army I want to collect. Like, I feel like I want to play Iron Guts, but I don't want to buy the Iron Guts models because they're just bleh. Does that make sense? But now I'm like, models I like, rules I like. That's a jam sandwich I can get together with. Okay, well, so I think that's all the news, which brings me on to my main subject of the show this week, which I'll be doing breakfast battles. Well, today, sorry. I'll be doing breakfast battles all, well, not all week, but I think I've got 3 people lined up to play next week, maybe 4, but definitely 3. And so what army to play? What army to play? And the problem is a lot of the armies that I've wanted to collect have been a bit meme-y. Because you don't want to get, like, the cool guy army. And you don't want to play Seraphon. I'm not going to play Jaws of Mork because I played it JT and it's shit. Like, so I'm not going to. And that's the issue, right? Like, there's that difference between, like, viable on the tabletop and meme-y. Like, Jaws of Mork. 4 Doom Wheels, terrible list. I would love to play it, but it's terrible. Trogs, Khorne, Nurgle Demons. Thanks, Grinaldi. Appreciate that. Grand Alliance Destruction with Forge World Garbage. Definitely not. Do we get to vote on which army? Yeah, well, I was mainly going to talk to you guys. Bruh, JT, I'm so sorry, baby. I'm so sorry. Ideth Eels? No, obviously. Sons of a Hemet? No. Null Deploy Ogres? Interesting. Sons of a Hemet? You won't do it. I won't do it. You're right. I don't want to do that. Play that gnarly silver that from Smorgon's event. Ugh, I can't do that. Dirt through 3 Tree Lords sorted. It's a cool list. It's a cool list. The Silverneth list from Smorgon's event yesterday was very cool. I was very excited to see that. You should try and play Stormcast Cav. No. I can settle for Trogs. I'm also not playing Trogs because while Trogs are narratively the best, get my push pooed in on stream by only I've got like 3 hyper competitive players lined up to play. What am I gonna do? Just be like, we knew this sucked before we started to play. What about showcasing some lesser known builds from top armies? See, I was thinking about that. I was like, can I make a Seraphon list that isn't shitty? And the answer is no. Like, because all the overlapping rules are just so good. I was like, do I take loads of Stegodons? That could be a thing. Could I try and play with Croxigore? Could that be a thing? That's why I tried to run the pigs at the TTS event. Because I was like, that's interesting. Like, loads of pigs. No one really plays that. So I tried to do the Flame Spires. So I'm like, what can I play? Show off your Knights of the Empty Throne, Dwarf Penguin. But we've seen that on stream a lot. And I've already played a lot of Breakfast Battles. So And I like to play like an army a week if I can. I really wanted to do like a... So there's an Osiarchs list that I wrote, which has got six Morghast Harbingers. They've got, they get a pregame move because of battalion, so they move six. They move base 9, and you can increase that by a further 3 inches. So because of the Osiarchs command ability, so that's 12. So you end up on an 18-inch movement. And then, if you want to, you can charge 3d6 with them, and they've got the fly keyword, and they can charge from outside of 18 inches. If I really wanted to compound it, I could put that unit into Staliart Lord, so they could run and then charge. I thought that was cool, and I wrote the list out. It was, I thought it was okay, but it was really light on characters. It was just a Liege Cavalos, but it was 2 units of 3 Stalkers, 6 Morghast Harbingers, 3 units of 10 Mortec Guard, and then I had about 400 points, and I was like, okay, do I end up, like, what do I do? Increase the Stalkers? But that was, like, not the right decision, because then I would have just ended up with, like, these 3 medium blocks of stuff that didn't do much. I was like, okay, 400 points, obviously 2 catapults. But, like, who wants to watch the catapults? Catapults fucking suck. But they're also so good. But, like, there's no way to write like this. And that was what took me onto an interesting kind of conversation about some of the battle terms that have been released this year. Ignoring Tzeentch. Ignoring Tzeentch and Seraphon, obviously. Maybe not. Is that, like, really, we're fairly limited what you can put inside some of the newer books. Like, we talk about the Lumineth Realm Lords, you know, and the Aurelian Legion Battalion is so strong that Venari get this massive looking, and you rarely see the cow guys. So it's like, do I do a cow guy list? And I'll see what I do with that, like, and take a bunch of Stone Guard and see if you can build a list like that. But the problem is like, some of those, like, more meta lists, generally, they're just going to walk over it, I think. Thrashfall Befoulment with Bellicor is interesting. I think that's good. Make the Nomad Prince Battalion work. You'd be a hero in the Living City community. Okay. So, yeah. And that's the other thing. James came up with a great idea for the Monday shows. So, the Monday shows, we're looking at the battalions. And honestly, the battalion show that we did on Monday, I think is one of the best shows we've done in a very long time. Like, I loved it. I thought it was so, so much fun. I don't know if any of you guys watched it and thought it was, I don't know if you guys ever thought it was good, but I loved it. And I thought it was so fascinating to, like, deep dive the battalions, which we rarely ever do. And I was, I think we're doing Tzeentch this Monday for the battalions, which I, loved that show. I thought it was really good. Made me want to start a Pistoliers army, but then I saw the models. But you can do some cool 3D Pistoliers, just saying, Marcus Rock. But honestly, every show has been great lately. Thanks, JT. Thanks, Sithin. Oh, you're all great. Really, it's thanks to my co-host more than me. Anyway, so I was like, oh, maybe I'll just fucking do the Tzeentch battle tome. Like, and there's like a Karrick Acolyte spam list, which I thought maybe. You should play more tribes versus Seraphon, and each time they beat you, reduce their points by 250 until you win. So I thought what we could do is I could parry off the Monday shows where we do some of the battalions, and then what we'll do is try and play them on the breakfast battles, which I thought would be a good way of going about it. Not Archeon in Hos Arkhan and Pete. I was more thinking of going along the Karrick Acolyte spam version, because it's something we rarely see collected and played, because who the fuck wants to buy 120 Karrick Acolytes is what I was thinking. But I was thinking we could just look through all those battalions and try and do that, because I thought that would be fun. Because the battalions, are like, you can build super fun battalions. Like JT was just talking about, the idea of trying to do the Viridian Pathways Warscroll Battalion from Living City and make that work, it is an interesting pick, I think. So I think I might try and marry off both of those. Just wondering if you guys have got any, like, thoughts. Like, what stuff do you like to see? Because I think it was really great having Owen on the show, because he played Smashbat, and we got to learn about Smashbat, right? Like, it was great having Matt on the show, because Matt obviously plays Sylvaneth competitively, and we got to watch, like, how someone's trying to use Sylvaneth competitively right now. Chris Wolfair's coming on the show next week. He's going to be playing, like, a janky, weird, fun Ogre Moor Tribes list. I'm pretty certain Owen's coming back as well. So, like, I'm lining people up with really interesting armies. Like, so I don't know if I'd make my army really neutral so that the opponent has we have the conversation about the opponent's army more than we have the conversation about my army, or if we try and make it a conversation about two different armies, if that makes sense. Who wants to move 120 models on TTS? No one, I think, is the answer. But I love seeing non-meta armies playing this week. Just nice to see something else. I think that's the other thing as well. Knowing we're going to do the coverage sometime soon, I don't have to play any of like the top picks or even like the top units. Like, I've been banging on about the Phoenixes for a while. Those Phoenixes aren't good in any way, shape, or form. Like, it needed to happen. Did I get to see Vince Ventrella cheer on Smash Battle One Weekly? No, I did not get to see him. That's nice, though. I haven't caught up with that today. It's normally what I do on a Sunday. I love seeing the janky stuff every time I showcase the tournament builds. It's nice to see non-meta, says Ben Biddis. Okay. Once I figure out how TTS works, I'm keen to get online games with my Super Monster Safe Starters. This team's wheelbarrow. Very excited about that. Big love to you. Big, big love. Okay. Couple of lines. Embrace the frog. Embrace the frog and play with Croak. Also, other big news. I'm going to come back to this conversation. Pinning it for now. Yeah, if you're into... we're going to mood board that later. Let's action that in the future. General corporate terms. Has everyone seen that the FAQ is going to come out? Is everyone seen? If some people haven't seen it, Agency My FAQ has been announced, which is super exciting. It's been announced. It's coming out in, they said, a couple of weeks. They announced it in the 40K FAQ. They were like, the Agency My FAQ is coming soon. So we are on a deadline now. Time is against us. Very exciting. We hope to see points changes, not like we saw that one time where it was just, I can't wait for 2 10 points changes per book. Matt, you're right. I'm trying not to be that guy, but you're right, but I'm trying not to be that guy. So there is a winter FAQ. There is. Just winter, because of climate change, has moved further along. That's how it works now. Winters get, like, they shift. It shifted, globally shifted. Chug PLC and all steam tank list. Oh my god. Yes. Those Marauder Horsemen better go up again. Oh baby. What about regular Marauders? Croak dropping 50 points is definitely happening. That's going to be fun. Better play Croak before he goes down to 240. You guys are a bunch of cynics. Have I ever told you that you're a bunch of cynics? Can much be changed with so little info out there from gaming in 2020? Well, Gorkamorka, I feel like enough info is out. From like the TTS events and other stuff. Like, it might seem like a bit bold to make that claim, but I do feel some stuff seems like very relevant to have conversations about. Croak and Skinks, like, no one needs to have that conversation. That's a conversation that can be done. Would love to see your pilot your favorite Chaos Dwarves tank before they go. I mean, there's an option there. There's an option. I could run my Chaos Dwarf list because that is fun. Don't tempt me. Oh, baby. Got fire glaives. 4-inch move. Fucking just living their best lives. That's what they're doing. bounce spells down half the price. Perfect. Really hope for a 10-point drop on a Mancrusher Gargant. It's probably too new to be touched, but it would be open possibilities to some move forward. All right, Sam. I hope that happens for you. In 40K FAQ, they changed a lot of rules, like objective and core rules. Will it be the same in AOS? Good point, Grinaldi. I think probably not. We're at different ends of a game, basically. 40K is at the start of a new edition where they have had some like very vocal opposition to how strong the first turn is. There's been an intent by Games Workshop to try to produce a game that's as balanced as possible against the metrics of numbers. We're at the end of Age of Sigmar 3 where they've never tried particularly to balance stuff, and they're quite anarchic with the competitive side of Age of Sigmar anyway. Look at what's happened with realms and not realms. They don't even understand how terrain is deployed. Like, the terrain in the GHB 2 years ago was just hilarious. Like, there are still outstanding FAQs on a bunch of different things which we need, and I think a lot of that is what we saw at the end of 8th edition for 40K, where there was just a bunch of stuff left up in the air because they're like, cool, new edition is coming, so it doesn't matter. So we're more likely to see winter FAQ in a year's time, new edition in the summer, winter FAQ in a year's time, and that winter FAQ is more than likely going to be where we will see any structural changes like we've seen in 40K ultimately. Okay, competitive and fun. Let's teleport DOK with 20 boats and bring your dinghy. Okay, JT, good suggestion. How triggered would 40k players get if they didn't choose Pride Roll for 40k? They would have got very triggered, and I'd have loved it. Math Mallow, hopefully they clarified terrain rules, to be honest. I agree with you. I think terrain rules need to be clarified in Age of Sigmar 3. I don't think we're going to get an AOS FAQ. I think probably we're going to get the most bland FAQ of all time. We're going to see general points changes up and down. It does feel like they forgot about it, and it isn't something that they're going to overly look at or work particularly hard on. Not that I think that they particularly work hard on any of it anyway. a quiet Sunday afternoon, but with a cup of tea, and they just like go through plus 10, minus 10, plus 10, minus 10. How hard can that be? That can't take more than an afternoon. Do I still think a new edition in the summer? Prop Joe, I do still think a new edition in the summer. We might see an accelerated time frame, only because that's generally how the Games Workshop tend to work, because of obviously sales that they need to report on for stock, because they're a floated company for their P&Ls and whatnot. So like in that quarter, but maybe not. What they'll do is they'll push it to September, but like that would generally fuck around with everything, I think. But maybe they're not. We'll see. The intern's going to be busy with points changes. I'll roll down to 300 points, then back up to 600 points with a new War Scroll in Mortal Realms. Joe PLC, I agree. Also, it might be interesting to see, like we have seen with financial year and all that. Yeah, so the start of the new financial year, that's when they bring out new additions, because they want that big spike in numbers to carry them through that quarter. So then that they can, because you have to remember that what they can do is, they can bring it either side. So if they're having a great year, so July, whatever, leading up to Christmas, if that half of the year is smashing, and the next half of the year isn't making waves, they can bring the release forward before by the end of that financial year, so that year works well. So they have that placement. So they have Christmas in the center, and they have that placement around the middle to move it around. So if they need to bump up last year's, they can bump it up. They need to push into next year's, they can bump that up, roughly. The new edition gets pushed to Christmas releases, says Gorkamork. I don't think that's going to happen at all, because they don't want that for Christmas, I don't think. So now that's why Grinaldi's made the good point. I think there will be spoilers in the FAQ for Broken Realms. That's what I was saying, because like we've seen the 40k FAQ, we've seen spoilers for the Death Guard stuff in the FAQ. Yeah, Razor Wolf. That's why they release. If you go back and look, that's why they release everything around the summer, because then they can mitigate where they put sales, if that makes sense. And that's why you end up with like other releases or big releases. If you think about it, normally at the beginning of a year, we end up with a couple of massive new like reinvigorated model ranges at the beginning of the year. So like January, February, and we're obviously seeing that with Sinesh. And the reason that we get that is because that obviously ticks up for that half of the year. There's some clear method evolved there. Legion of the Gash points could be interesting hint to upcoming releases if most of the points don't change at all, knowing they will be replaced soon. So what's the point? Agreed. Pre-win points increased to account for 2 win wasn't too bad. Razor Wolf, it was really good. So yeah, Winter FAQ, pretty baller. Very excited about that. Has anyone got any key changes they'd like to see? Key changes. I know Math Mallow said he wanted terrain changes. I'm not sure if I'm like super down for terrain changes, but that'd be fine. I'd be okay with that. Let's just take some water. It's warm today. it's 1 degree. Scott B says, they're definitely facing issues, companies struggling to ship stuff to the UK. Those books printed in China will get whacked with tariffs, so it could have a big impact on programs. Scott B, could be that they want to release it in summer, maybe they can't. So you've got a good point there. Bound, endless spell changes. Yes, I think that's a super fair point. I think seeing Deepkin buffs, obviously we would like to see Deepkin buffs. That would be perfect. Oh, Baucho, thanks for donating £15 to the show. That's fucking lovely of you. Many blessings to you and your house. That's awesome. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you. No scoring objectives on the first turn, says Grenadier. What? No scoring objectives on the first turn? Oh. Interesting. That's rough, because we have summoning in Age of Sigmar. 40k and Age of Sigmar, as much as they're the same, are ultimately different games. I'd have to sit with that a little bit more. But the problem with 40k is they don't have any late game summoning. For Age of Sigmar has, and that means that armies can scale better towards the late game, and some armies need to score big early and then tail off. So we have more tempo in the armies in Age of Sigmar. Maybe. Maybe that's not true. Maybe 40k has the same sort of tempo, it's just structured differently. But we definitely have tempos in the game. Which hit the game so well. I'm not sure it would, but we'll see. But like, again, I haven't left with that. Hatred and big love. I wish Seraphon had gotten their own endless spells and not the bound thing. Gorkamorka, I agree. I feel like the bound thing was them just being lazy because they just had nothing like with the bound endless spells. They gave an army that's obviously magic heavy and they didn't do them some endless spells. Just seems weird. But like we saw with Legions and Nagash, if you guys remember, Legions and Nagash endless spells eventually came out as the Forbidden Power endless spells. So maybe they're hidden somewhere. They just didn't release them. Maybe they weren't in time, maybe they, like, whatever they were, like, so maybe we'll get some sort of release, which ends up with, like, some dragon, some dinosaur and the spells, and we'll be like, what? Hey, Rura. Phase change, so hero, shooting, moving, charging, combat. Nice, Tim. That's really nice. Yeah, so shooting, moving. I mean, that's interesting, moving the phases around. The only thing I would say about moving the shooting before moving is obviously we sometimes use like Arcane Bolt or like any sort of like damagey spell sometimes to free units from movement, free units up and then move. So it would, I don't know if it would make shooting stronger, but it would be interesting. So shooting before you move. Anyway, something to think about, but very interesting. Hey Rura, you started painting for the first time in 2021. Let's go, you've got this. Let's go. I'd like to see the FAQ make Seraphon temple placement change to be good to the Seraphon player. Gorkamorka, I feel that's fair and fine, whatever it is. I'd like them to definitely clean up garrisons is what I'd like to see them clean up. That would be really good. See you later, Joe PLC. Off to the tip. Good luck. Hey, Comitron 89, big love to you. I think Bound Ender spells would be a really big change. And I think that there's enough tournament data, to answer a question from earlier, I think there's enough tournament data that we would end up with, like, we should end up with some Seraphon changes at least. Maybe some Lumineth changes as well, but I think that's too new a range for them to hit with a Nerf Bat right now. Pete Pratt, I want battalion drops to rules to change so they either drop all at once or individually. If you want to choice, yes, agree with Pete on that 100%. I think that would be very, very, very strong. I think that's a very good choice. Battalions are so strong anyway. You get so many bonuses from battalion, you should have to deploy everything in one go. There should be a negative for the battalion as much as there are positive. So Pete, I agree with you. I think that's, maybe that's one of the core outstanding changes that needs to happen in the game. Actually, I'm going to put that to the top of my list. Bound Ender spells are negative, but I guess battalions affect every game. Yes, I would agree. I would agree. I think that's probably the most outstanding issue in the game right now. I don't know what you guys think, but I would argue that that is probably the most outstanding issue. Good work, Pete. As always. change abilities that don't cost CP from 100% success rate to 3+. Yes. Prayers are a really good example of stuff that like is good risk versus reward. So I think prayers are really, really good. So yeah. Okay. So armies for next week. Haven't decided yet, but maybe it's going to be something Zinchian based off a battalion. It could be the Living City Battalion from last week, but it's definitely going to be, I think I'm going to try and theme them around battalions to go with the Monday series. Are we also 99.9% sure board sizes get smaller? Pete, we are like, bet the farm. We are like, all of our money and chips in on that, like the whole throw coins out of our pockets, everything, the clothes off my back, the whole thing. I'd be okay seeing spend a bottle change to only taking spells in Malign Sorcery. Gork and Mork, I agree with you. I'd be okay with a double Blood Rat Shrine Battalion. The Queen is good. No, I'm not doing that. Let's see 60 pistoliers on the board. Oh my god. You guys are monsters. All the flamers. The pistoliers build wouldn't be bad. That would be fun. That'd be super fun to see play. Because, I mean, when have we seen it playing? Have we seen it played? We saw it played at Sheffield Slaughter by Joe last year. But I guess we could see that played more. So, yeah. So, theming armies around battalions, I think, is probably going to be the one. So, if you guys are listening to this and you're excited and you want me to run a battalion, just tweet at me. I want to hear all your crazy ideas and just, like, get some ideas. It's also fun when they go onto Twitter because, like, we all just end up, like, having a long chat about them. And, like, someone's like, I love this battalion. It's, like, sweet. And one of the things I'm going to try and be this year is a bit more encouraging generally about the game and the hobby as much as I can be. And so, like, just getting people excited about stuff, like, even if it's trash tier, is fun, I think. Like, even if we're aware of it. Lurid Haze, or how about your Hellstorm Rocket Battery list? Yeah, could do that. That'd be fun. They're not good, the Hellstorm Rocket Batteries, though. I think it's fun. Good idea to use Monday Show to talk about them before picking. Let's you think about more about them, get everyone hyped. Thanks, JT. Any armies which are an absolute no-go, Rob? Probably just, like, eels. I mean, when I do loads of turtles, I do three turtles. Maybe I do three turtles. That'd be fun. No, because it's still just the same thing. It's just like fight first in turn three. Screw that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing Idneth. Fire Slayers, never in 1,000 years. They're off the table, and you know it. It's a good tutorial to watch for using TTS and everything. I'm like lost. Okay, Darker Design. That is something I might do either later today or tomorrow. I think that's something that's really relevant right now. So I think I might go through the process of doing that. In fact, I might record it like literally right after this fucking video, because it's very doable. So yeah, I'll do that. I'm gonna go now and do it. Is the plan. So let's go. All right, listen, guys, it's a pleasure. I've got to run off because I've got a couple of things to do today. But let's go. I'm very excited. Very excited. Don't forget, tomorrow's going to be a longer show. We're going to be hanging out doing some hobby. So looking forward to that. So please do join us for that tomorrow. Big, big love. Monday show, obviously battalions. We've got a show with Owen. We've got tournament coverage coming up. There's loads coming on. You're all great. Yeah, just stay safe, stay healthy, look after yourselves, have a great day, and I'll see you guys soon. Thanks very much to everyone, podcast, Patreon, everything else. Loads and loads of love. See you soon. Bye. Thank you.